Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
The year is 2023. All media and entertainment is controlled by the corpus. They keep asking for more and more and more. But there's one thing they forgot. The power has never belonged to the corpus. The power belongs to the people.
Welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan, and this week, it's a shadow cast still, I think. So
it is. We're still in the shadows.
So yeah, that, so you still. don't get a normal intro because it's shadows, shadowy.
Good evening. I'm Doge. Ooh. And to succeed in life, you need three things: a wishbone, a backbone, and a chunk bone.
Now, what's the chunk bone connected to?
Chunk bone's connected to the bone. Podcast.
Oh.
That's a quote from Reba McEntire, who is a single mom who works two jobs, who loves her kids, never stops. General Hans, heart of a fighter. She's a survivor.
Why is nobody singing I'm a Survivor on the Reba
On track? Survivor? Dude, I think that every single episode where it's like, the idol goes to Reba. And I'm like, a single tribe who works two jobs.
Who eats just rice? hey, everyone. I'm Carter.
Hi.
Hey.
And life is suffering. It's hard. The world is chunked, but still, you find reasons to keep living. That's from Princess Mononoke.
It's from Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. I should have been.
Can
like,
you
read?
Can you give it a little more flat? Like a little bit less inflection? Like all the same pitch?
Life's hard. It is hard. The world is cursed, but still, you find reasons to keep living.
Thank you, Billy Bob.
Thank you, Billy Bob.
We'll talk about that in the back.
BBT.
Half.
BBT.
What I have here, here's something. Okay, so the actor's strike. It's tough on the actors in many ways, I'm sure, but probably one of
but
the
it's
literal
tough on
objective
me too.
Ways. One of the literal objective ways is because they're not getting paid. Like they're not getting to have the jobs that they feel like they have the aptitudes for. That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna insert a little bit of what sucks for me personally with this actor strike.
Oh, I was kidding,
big,
but
big
you're
studios?
For real.
I am for real. We don't really get to talk about news. There's been a lot of news that comes out that just came out about streaming shows on specific streaming platforms, massive studios that are going, they're in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
But we just can't really talk.
I want to have a discussion about that at some point, but I don't know. I don't know.
Can we have a discussion about that right now?
I think because it's dunking on the studio, we can.
Sure. I'll dunk on any Corpo Studios guys bag right
then
now.
Then let's
I'm
just
not even
start with
to.
That. Let's do a bit of in the news here, which we haven't done, honestly, in like 4 months. But Marvel Studios is in a certain way, y'all. And it is, we are finally having people break from, you know, whatever Marvel bunker they had to be in and whatever they had to sign to not talk about things, and that they're just like, yeah, we're fed up. This is, everybody sees it. It kind of felt like the Emperor's New Clothes.
Yeah,
that story
sure.
about the guy who's got like, he's naked.
Turned into a llama.
And everybody's like, hey, check this out. Yeah, turns into a llama.
Yeah.
Works with Sting for a while. But it's really bad. And to hear some of the ideas that were coming out of the studio to correct the issues.
It's a scramble. It's a mad scramble, dude.
It's damning. And my solution is let's just forget a lot of that exists. Let's just be done with that stuff. We haven't really touched the X-Men. We wanted to bring that back. Let's just do that. Like, if y'all want to keep doing stuff.
But why would you when you could just bring everybody who died back and try again?
What a mistake.
What a mistake.
What a swing and a miss. Did y'all read the Variety, Variety expose article?
No, can I be honest with you? It's not a secret if you've been listening to the podcast. I have such franchise fatigue with Marvel and Star Wars, pretty much anything owned by Disney. Like, when I heard all the news about Marvel just like floundering, I was just kind of like, yeah, obviously moved on with my life. I didn't even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just curious. I was curious. So I read the article and it.
Oh, you did.
It traces a lot of the like fatigue and a lot of the like, basically the secret sauce is Feige, who like is known for sort of swooping in during post-production and making sure everything, it's one insider describes it as foaming the runway really, really well to whatever position the plane's in. He's going to make sure it lands well and connects to all the other planes that have to take off soon. Mm-hmm. And Disney had a top-down mandate once the pandemic hit of like, there is always going to be some kind of new Marvel to explore, whether it's a movie in theaters or a show on Disney Plus. Like every single week, there will be a new piece of MCU content. And they had a similar approach with Star Wars. I think they spaced that out a little bit more. But Feige is just reportedly just spread too thin. And so it's like, of course we have franchise fatigue. Yeah. I think probably old Kevbot has franchise fatigue.
I mean, I would just say like, Marvel is just spread too thin in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
They went from releasing, you know, 2 to 3 fair to high quality projects a year. To releasing what feels like 5 to 6 mediocre to bad projects with the occasional gem buried in there.
There's that thing. What? That it's like a count I think I've seen that says that Phase 4, like Disney plus movies, is a longer runtime than Phases 1 through 3 combined. That doesn't may not be 100% accurate, but I think that's what I read.
It's long. Yeah. Either way, it's long. Yeah. We know that.
We had a conversation around too, like, hey, more isn't really more. I mean,
right.
So for the company, it will make more. But somebody in that room, it feels like, wasn't looking further ahead. It was like, right, but when we start to dilute what we have here,
yeah,
its chance of dying quicker is exponential. I think if we had kept that pace, which feels impossible, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Still do 2 or 3 things. A movie, couple movies in a show or something. Then maybe we hold on to it. I don't know. There was just a lot going wrong. And it's so unfortunate.
They've basically shuttered their TV division now. They're no longer prioritizing or focusing on limited series. The way they've run their limited series is like a movie. They're not running it with like a showrunner and individual directors. They're just making a 6-hour-long movie and cutting it up into whatever arbitrary length pieces they want to for Disney Plus. They're abandoning that strategy, focusing on multi-season shows going forward. Daredevil got scrapped and then reconfirmed. Like, they started over on it, just like they started over on Blade. Like, it's just a complete scramble right now.
Yeah. I think it's because in Endgame, we saw the culmination of, you know, what was it at that point? 11 years of movie making and religious viewing. And in that 11 years, even bad or okay movies, it was like, well, at least it's moving towards something. Then, all of a sudden, after Endgame, we got a new start, but it wasn't really a fresh start. Like, it was like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's so, in retrospect, it is so weird to make a, quote, phase of your eternally running film franchise being picking up the pieces after the last phase.
Yeah.
And it should have been a red flag when they told us that that's what Phase 4 was about.
Phase 4 was just all denouement. It was all, we dropped the ring into the mountain. Now let's ride the Eagles back to the Shire. And it's like movies and movies and movies of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that in retrospect, we should have known to be concerned when they were like, phase four is all about the effects of phase three. It's like, yeah. Actually, that's...
Oh, that's boring.
That's not very exciting.
That's kind of boring. Don't you own the X-Men now?
It sounds interesting when you want falling action. It sounds interesting when you want the end.
Yeah.
But then at, you know, the third movie that's still like, man, that snap was crazy. How do we deal with it? It's like, I think I got it.
Yeah, I think it's fine. We're okay.
Thank you so much. What does it take? And again, I don't know how much money you lose by not making something. I mean, Marvel, even bad things that they would release in theaters that were even critics and fans alike didn't enjoy would make $500 million worldwide. So it's like, why not? So what do they need to do? 14 months sabbatical? Let's start over? Like, figure it out?
Didn't Quantumania make less than $500 million, though? I mean, like $480 million
or something. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And that's counted as a loss.
That's all?
They consider that doesn't turn a profit. It's like regarded as a loss financially. I think Disney itself is in pretty dire straits for fall releases between the Marvels, which nobody seems to be getting excited for. I think the latest spot like is teasing a potential X-Men appearance just to try and get people to please go see this movie. Between the Marvels and Wish, I think Disney's going to have a pretty disastrous Q4, which they deserve because they're corpo scuzzbags.
Yeah. Well, speaking of corporate scuzzbags, it feels like Disney's biggest problem, which we've been saying for a while now, is they forgot how to make interesting original content. It feels like Disney has put all of their focus on Disney Plus, but Disney Plus has not fulfilled the promise that it gave. When Disney Plus was first announced, I remember maybe I was just reading subtext that didn't exist, but I feel like I remember a lot of the promise being like, Disney Plus is going to be a place where anything Disney's ever touched is going to be available to watch. We're going to have, essentially, we're going to capture the magic of old school Disney Channel for new generations and recapture the magic for the generations that watch the old school Disney Channel. I was eagerly waiting when Disney Plus dropped to find out that they were doing like adult DCOMs, like DCOMs for people that used to watch DCOMs. And like
Brink 2, ready to roll.
Sure, whatever, dude. Like, give me Smart Neighborhood, and it's a neighborhood full of smart houses, and Ben has to go save everybody.
Yeah.
I just pulled that name out of the ether.
Smart Neighborhood, man.
That's Ben, I would never have gotten to Ben.
Yeah, I know. It just
I would
of
have
nowhere.
Said luck of the Irish boy.
What? Yeah, I think that's probably what I normally would say, but Ben just appeared to me. But yeah, I don't know, man. It feels like the promise of what could have been was awesome. And what actually happened is basically nothing more than a streaming service where Disney dumps some of the things they've made.
You know what Disney needs to do? They need to build a shrine for Bluey. Because if Disney Plus doesn't have Bluey right now, who has Disney Plus?
Right.
Right.
You have every young family or every family in the nation because Bluey's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. Again,
I can't tell you the last time I opened my Disney Plus app.
Same.
It's frustrating.
I actually am considering strongly just canceling it. I don't use it.
There's a part of me that's like, go ahead and just, I think Marvel, pull the cord for a little bit because I selfishly want them to take care of the IP that they have a hold of now that we really haven't seen. And so that bums me out to hear that Marvel's might give us an X-Man. But we have X-Men Fantastic Four, which are things that have their own histories. And so like, don't ruin this too. Like you're going to blow it. Like if you do that.
Yeah.
Like don't roll this in right now. It's nuts.
They're reportedly facing a pretty significant uphill battle with the Kang stuff because Jonathan Majors is set to stand trial in late November in the state of New York. And so they are just, I think, fully screwed because they have built so much of it around Kang. And now who knows?
Which, that I'm willing to say, like, you can't help that. Like,
yeah, they were dealt a really bad hand.
Yeah.
The Yahya Abdul-Mateen show Wonder Man got canceled. They had shot 4 episodes and they were like, actually, this sucks. And so they just control A selected everything, deleted it. They're not doing that show anymore. So people are clamoring for him to be him to replace Majors as Kang, which would be fun.
There you go.
I like him a lot.
Doctor Doom could be the next. Like they could replace the whole concept, and that's the new big bad.
Sure,
but
major scrambling.
Honestly, if tomorrow Marvel Studios, if Marvel executive, whatever, if they were just like, hey, good news, off screen, the Infinity Gauntlet twitched and reset the whole universe. We're just going to start over. Pretend Endgame was the end. All that middle stuff, you can watch it if you want to. We're just going to kind of start over, do a different thing now. I honestly think I'd be more excited than how they're like, in chapter 39 of an epic movie series. So this time, Ant-Man's going to get silly.
That's reportedly what's supposed to happen with Secret Wars. Secret Wars is supposed to be this big reset. I saw a rumor the other day that said Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine are the two leads of Secret Wars.
See,
which
those
feels
are red flags
so,
to me.
That's so cheap. That's so like just like, hey, let's take the last 20 years of movies and kind of throw it away in service of nostalgia.
Man.
But here we are, though. We used to like it. Now we don't. And it's because they won't pay their actors.
That's why.
Big bummer.
That's why this is happening.
That's why we're here. Definitely doesn't help. I'll tell you that. It definitely doesn't help.
Something that might help our podcast. Bring the spirits up a little bit. Let's play a couple games. I wanted to bring something from the old from the old two chunks and then something that was born of the shadow cast.
And something blue.
Something bluey.
Oh.
Something newy.
So we have something bluey. Now let's do something newy.
No newy.
Something
let's
oldie.
Play A Star Was Born.
Heard of it.
Was looking through the calendar as I do every waking moment to see celebrity birthdays.
Dude, you should chill out on that
around.
A little bit. I've been meaning to talk to you
about
that.
I love it. I just can't get enough. Ever since Marvel went down the Isher, I just start looking. I tried to like self-edit myself. This is just it.
Since Marvel went down the shoulder.
The shoulder.
Do you DM celebrities happy birthday? If you look on your calendar and it's like their birthday, are you just like getting on and like
I know he's lying
in their fan
and
accounts?
That still
and stuff?
Makes me want to vomit.
I'm so glad you know I'm lying.
That would be in hey Maisie Williams, happy birthday. Just wanted to say from a real fan.
Just like DMing John Stamos. Like, it looks like a big day for you, buddy.
Have John mercy on this beautiful birthday.
his Hot Ones is wonderful, by the way. Go watch
Ooh.
It. Birthday yesterday. And there's nothing like a good belated, right? Like maybe, I actually don't
Except
mind hearing
time,
a belated
maybe.
Happy birthday. You're like, oh, a little bit of that magic that I had day up.
It's not over.
It's fun. So just I've got a few actors and actresses here. That you
it's like being
DM.
A week after Christmas and remembering you haven't opened the lifesavers from your stocking yet. You're like, the magic lives. Yeah.
This first actress was born yesterday. I wasn't born yesterday.
She's a baby.
She was. It was November 6th, actually, of 1988. That's the year in which I was born. 1988. November 6th.
So she's like, what,
50? She has 53 acting credits. So she's 50. That's funny.
Let's go 50, the big 5-0.
Yeah, let's see what her 50th credit is.
Cruella.
So this is Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
You just want to lock it in now?
Yeah.
Shoot your shot?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, lock it in.
Lock it in by saying
lock it in.
There you go.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Happy birthday, Emma. She's got an untitled Yorgos Lanthimos film coming up. She's got a movie called And. It's A-N-D capitalized. And then Cruella 2. We're going back because Disney's doing that thing we talked about.
Dude, this new thing with her and John Mulaney.
It's not Mulaney. It's Nathan Fielder.
Oh, no, Nathan Fielder. Yeah. Nathan Fielder. Looks awesome.
It does. And has Jesse Plemons in it, by the way.
Oh,
and Willem Dafoe.
I feel like we don't talk enough about how great Emma Stone is.
She's really, really good.
She doesn't look like she has Instagram. I'm on the two chunks thing. She has, there's a fan account with 136,000 followers. Should we DM that account and just have them tell Emma happy birthday for us on November 6th?
No, I don't even want our brand associated with that behavior. That's degenerate.
Now let them know. November 6th, 1970.
I feel like he's really doing it and I don't want him to do it.
I'm not. Look, you can see both of my hands. I can't type.
He's typing with no
listener can see both of your hands. Oh my Lord. 96 acting credits for this actor born in 1970. 96. Four upcoming projects. So he's still getting after it.
95.
Yeah.
Reservation Dogs.
38.
Yeah, what's his 38th credit?
Oh, Lord. I wish they numbered these things. Give me a minute. Ugh, just the scrolling.
Yeah, and we'll leave it all in the episode too for sure.
Oh, my God. Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah, glad we picked that one. Let's go something more like recent in the real times that we live.
More normal.
You want to go, I think somewhere 85 or higher is going to be our bread and our butter.
Oh, both.
How many credits did they have?
95.
96.
So when I said 38, I was thinking that it was 56 and we were only going back like 20 Mm-mm. credits or so.
Mm-mm. No, I think that one is from BC. The one we just did.
It does sound like maybe Jesus and his disciples might have watched that one.
There was a drawing of this fellow on papyrus, and they're like, IMDb got it.
Let's go 87.
Yep.
The Northman.
Oh. Wait. He's not that old.
Lots of folks. Yeah, no, he's not.
You watched The Northman.
It is one of those movies that has several people in it.
Yeah, The Northman has a lot of people in it.
I have not watched it. Who's 55 in that, Doge?
I can't think of who's in that movie.
Well, Skarsgård's not 55.
He sure isn't. He sure isn't 55.
He was born in 1970, so think more around 53.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, that's a big difference. That's a huge difference.
Ask any 55-year-old, you know.
I would never associate with a 55-year-old.
Probably would.
I don't know any to ask. I
have to go dig them out of the cemetery where they're laying down under the ground because
I've
of how old
seen
they are.
Either of you in a room with a 55-year-old.
Would never do it. Would never.
It's contagious.
I bet that's actually close to true.
What?
Maybe a You've big never... room with a couple 55-year-olds, but isn't that weird to think? We've been friends for this long, but how often have we hung out with 55-year-olds specifically together? It really makes you think.
2024. That's our resolution.
We're gonna hang out with
three of us. Let's find a 55-year-old to hang out with.
Well, I know of at least one. Nope, we gotta wait 2 years for this one. Never mind.
We got time.
We got time to get to know him, so that where it's not weird when we hang out.
Who do you think it is, though? Who do you think it is?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I can't remember who's in that movie.
You're going to be able to sleep tonight if you just lock in nothing?
I haven't seen Reservation Dogs.
I haven't either. I think let's lock in Skarsgård and just say he looks fantastic.
Oh, it's for sure not, though.
It's for sure not, but who is it, though?
I don't know. I'd rather just guess a random actor.
Willem Dafoe. Lock it in.
That's the opposite direction of not 53.
Wait.
Paul Rudd, lock it in.
He's a great wall of
Reservation Dogs. He's definitely not.
Hang on. Say that again with your full voice where we can both hear it.
Willem Dafoe would make a great Waluigi.
Dude, actually.
Wah! Wah!
Yeah.
With that rose, you know he could do it.
Yeah.
Just a dark.
Happy 53rd birthday. Happy belated. Mr. Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, he is in that. He is in that at the very beginning. He gets dead at the very beginning of The Northman.
What Jordan literally talked about while I was scrolling it. He hasn't seen that movie.
Jordan will never watch that movie and we both know it.
That's why.
What does that even mean? I'm not you. I watch things. I think it is unfair to say that there's anything I would never watch and fair to say there's lots of things you would never watch.
That's true.
Let's play Born of the Darkness. Very quickly, let's play A Blind Draft.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't played this game with us, it's something that we just didn't
make
up.
Isn't it blind ranking?
It's a blind ranking now.
Yeah.
I forgot. We changed the name of it.
Mostly.
And always, we changed it's never the been name a blind
of it
draft.
Just moments ago.
We changed the name we of it when it was created.
And edited it from when I was calling it a draft and all the previous iterations, and now it says ranking. Blind ranking, in which there's just like a, we've done, what have we done? We've done Johns. Have we done Johns before?
We did. We ranked Johns. Johns.
We did some John rankings. We did Cats.
Yeah.
To where I've pulled together a list from the jump here. I went and curated a list of 10 of something. And I'm going to randomly give this list gradually to these two boys. And they have to rank. We're doing princesses today to honor Princess Mononoke. Which who, the princess themselves is named San.
Yeah.
But Princess Mononoke really is more of like a derogatory term, I think, that local people had for her. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, hey, you're the princess of essentially the demons and the curses.
Yeah.
So
Mononoke is a creature who can shape.
Vengeance.
Shapeshift.
Shapeshifting. We got 1 through 10 here. You got to put them on the list. We're going to start with San, though, of Mononoke.
Okay. Hang on. Let's decide right now what is our criteria.
I would say that my criteria is the best one.
But how do we determine that?
Because it's so much more boring to have the bumpers.
So what happens if we how do you compare then Princess San and Princess Mia Thermopolis Rinaldi?
Yeah. I think that's easy. I think when it comes up, we know.
Okay, so what's
on? What do you put on?
3.
Fine. 3.
All right. Our next princess is Xena. That's the warrior princess.
I have no connection.
From my childhood of the
90s. 7.
I have
Seven.
No connection. I say lower. Who are we going to put lower than that?
There could be some real bad real princesses who've done bad things in real life.
Then I think we go 9 and leave 10 open for a real stinker.
Okay. 10. 9.
Yeah. There you go. Now we're in the spirit of the blind rank. We just feel it out. Let it flow through our veins.
You already mentioned it, but on this very list that I made is Mia Thermopolis of the Princess Diaries. Where does she go?
I'm going to call that a 2.
On this princess ranking.
You think she's better than San?
Yeah.
Give an opinion here, Dosh. Let him know how you feel.
I would say 4. I would say she's less cool than San.
Because we're going to cool. have... It's not cool. That's not...
I can rank however I want to rank.
Right.
So 4.
But it's a team game.
I say 4.
And I say 2.
All right. Now, Carter, what do you do?
No, I don't get to do anything. It's y'all.
That's what I'm saying. We got to talk about it, Doge. Cool is not my criteria. So why do we think that Mia goes at 4?
You won't tell me what your criteria is.
I have no criteria. It's a feeling.
So why do you think she goes at 2?
Because she does.
Fair.
That's a blind rank.
Everybody's starting to get up in like the Wahlberg tones right now.
because she does. Because that's where she goes.
I'm just wondering.
Doing that.
You got to tell me why she goes at 2.
Because that's where she goes. You got to take in everything into account and the factor.
Let's do 2. That's fine. We'll just do 2 for this one.
I'm happy to go 4, but who do you think's going to beat San other than Mia Thermopolis, the princess that was promised?
Probably Zelda?
Sure.
Perhaps Leia?
That's why we left 1 open. No, Leia goes under.
No, not a chance.
Yeah, 100%. None of these people have floated as a corpse through a spaceship. So,
I'm that's Mary Poppins. That's Mary Poppins from Star Wars. I'm not talking about Star Wars Mary Poppins. I'm talking about the real Princess Leia.
Sure, let's go 4.
So wait, where did Thermopolis go?
4. 4.
You guys are wild. What a ride! What a ride you've taken me on. Buttercup. Of Princess Diaries. Nope, of Princess Bride. Princess.
Do you, Princess?
It feels like a 6 or a 7 to me, around that range.
I was going
to
say 5, so I'm happy with 6.
Okay.
Buttercup is 6. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love her as I love her. I love that movie.
It's a great too, man. Movie.
Got a real one for you now, boys. Diana. She's also been featured a lot in TVs and movie. Like the princess.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, she's never swung a sword, saved the kingdom.
On this list, 8. On this list, 8.
For Princess Di, the people's princess.
At 8. Not mine.
Yep.
Not mine. I'm American.
We got nothing for 1 or 2. 3 is San. 4 is Thermopolis right now. 5, it's got nothing. 6, Buttercup. 7, Nada. Princess Nada. Well, we got nothing there. 8, Diana. 9, Xena. And 10 is open. So 1, 2, 5, 7, and 10. I do present to you now, Princess Leia.
I think she's not a 7. She's not a 10. Is she 2 or 5?
Well, Dej, you fought pretty hard for her a second ago.
I lean 2. But I want to hear you tell me why she's 5.
Doesn't really do a lot of princess duties, and blasted off through a ship as a corpse.
San doesn't do any princess duties.
Yeah, but she's cool.
So is Leia.
She got blood mouth though.
I just hate Star Wars right now, so I don't want to honor any Star Wars.
Yeah, but do you hate Leia? Do you you don't even like the old Star Wars? Good Star Wars.
If I had to watch the old Star Wars right now, I simply wouldn't. It's the same reason I'm not going to go watch Endgame, even though I love it. I just can't do it right now.
Does not sound like she's going to be 2 for you guys.
No, yeah, she wouldn't be for me, but I'm happy to do it for my friend Doge.
We'll put her at 5. I'm okay to put Leia at 5.
Leia goes to 5.
If we're to regard 5 as the baseline, a princess must be exactly this for me to like. Leia is the bar that the princess must clear.
I like that.
I have for you... Fiona. Princess Fiona of Shrek.
Pretty good princess.
We're going to end up with somebody we like stuck at 10.
That's the risk of blind ranks, Doge. That's how you do it.
Right. So do we think there's going to be other princesses that we like at 1 and 2 more than we like Fiona?
Yeah.
So does that mean we put Fiona at 10?
Don't we have 7 open?
You have 7 open as well.
Oh,
1, 2, 7, 10.
I'm okay to put her at 7 because I think we might get 2 princesses that we like more than Fiona.
I think so too.
Ready for 1 and 2. Let's put Fiona at 7.
Fiona at 7. Now I have for you Zelda.
That's a 1 for me because she held back the darkness for 100 years, but.
Yeah.
Link, you must find me. The blood moon rises once
you
again.
You must find me. Guillermo.
You must find me, Guillermo.
You must find me. No. Princess? Oh, wait. No. Which one do I want to do first here?
He's going to try and hurt us.
No, I'm not going to try and do that. Princess Peach.
That's a 2 for me.
That's a 2.
Only not a 1 because of Zelda. Princess Peach is the people's princess. Yeah. In my opinion.
The actual people's princess. Yeah. All people, human and good.
She's such a representative of Mushroom Kingdom. Of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Mushroom.
She's such a representative of Mushroom Kingdom.
Of the Mushroom Kingdom. Princess of the Mushroom Kingdom. I asked Chelsea, my wife.
Nice.
That was not, damn it, that was not. Nope.
Nice, dude. Borat's so funny.
I said, Chelsea, I'm trying to put together a princess list here for... blind rankings. Yeah, I'm sure I said blind draft, but she knew what I meant. And she said, oh, my first cat. So our final princess is Chelsea's first cat. And Princess, I just got to learn about Princess.
It's like, a family secret?
They had her for a week. And they had to give her to someone else because what Princess would do is she would sleep with Chelsea, which is sweet. You got them kitty sleeps, kitty snugs. But Chelsea is kind of squirmy in bed. And so Princess would think that Chelsea was playing and would just like claw Chelsea's feet at night. And it would terrify Chelsea. And so Princess brought ultimately
pain in the structure,
I would think. Yeah. So I feel 10 to be appropriate.
Princess is, can we put Princess under the list? Princess is a 15. Sounds like a mean cat.
Okay. So our list here that we've curated that is perfect and final is at number 15, we have Chelsea's first cat. This is our princess list, princess ranking. Number 9, Xena, the warrior princess. Number 8, Princess Diana, the real one that kind of did actual things, but she's down here at 8.
Yep.
Number 7, Fiona of Shrek. The bird popper, they call her.
Yeah.
Number 6, Buttercup of Princess Bride. Number 5, Princess Leia. Number 4, Princess Mia Thermopolis of Princess Diaries. Number 3, Princess Mononoke herself, San. Number 2, Princess Peach. And number 1, Zelda.
I would call that list pretty close to perfect for me.
I would swap Mia and Leia, I think, but okay. I feel good about it.
That's, you know what's funny? Genuinely, I think I would swap Leia and Princess Buttercup.
Go one down.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I look at Star Wars with a very critical eye currently, including the characters and such. My bubble of illusion with Star Wars has been popped in a way that I hope I can come back from someday.
What do you mean by that?
I have disliked the last decade of Star Wars overall so much that it has caused me to sour on even old Star Wars and see it as fairly rote and boring, including the characterization of many characters that we love so much. And I'm hoping that I can break free of that Star Wars related cynicism. But I'm just not in a Star Wars phase
of my
life.
I totally get that. I mean, even
in any way, shape, or form right now.
I have these guys behind me.
I know.
These posters for the original three. And even thinking about that, it's like the characterization is fairly flat and one note.
Yeah. Like the thought of watching the old Star Wars trilogies, like original and the new trilogy. When I say new, I mean like late 90s, early 2000s.
The prequels.
The prequel trilogy. Used to excite me.
The poster bought Phantom Menace, I think you're talking about.
It used to really excite me, thinking about like watching through those like once a year. And now it's like, I wouldn't even consider it right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad? And that's me. Yeah. That's a me thing. That's not.
Sure.
That's me letting
Disney
win.
Is it like your local restaurant is just a chain now?
Yeah, something like that. Unless it's Chili's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chili's is a franchise you're saying is better or you enjoy more than Star Wars.
I don't even have to think about that. Yes.
You'd rather go to Chili's than watch Star Wars.
Yes.
Would you rather go to Chili's than watch Marvel?
Yes.
Would you rather go to Chili's than watch Fast and Furious?
I'm trying to
get your Chili's-ometer.
Yeah, no, that's good. This is good.
Dude, Chili's is the
it
Fast
depends.
And Furious.
It depends on the Fast and Furious. That one depends.
Fast X, the latest one. Would you rather go to Chili's or watch Fast X?
I kind of liked Fast X. I think I'd rather watch Fast X.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we like Fast X. Would you rather go? I think I know the answer to this one. Would you rather go to Chili's or watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy?
Oh, that's going to be Lord of the Rings, baby.
Okay. Would you rather go to Chili's or watch Mission Impossible?
Depends on the Mission Impossible, but it leans overall, I'd rather watch than go to Chili's.
What about Chili's or Planet of the Apes? The new Planet of the Apes franchise.
The second two, I'd rather watch those than go to Chili's. The first one, I can take or leave most of the time. It's good, but it's not my favorite.
It's pretty fine. The second two are
with
masterpieces.
James Franco.
The second two are very, very good.
What is the exact point of balance where you're like, I would be paralyzed in indecision because I like this exactly as much as I like going to Chili's?
Ooh, that's a good question, Doge. What's the exact same as Chili's?
On the Jordan enjoyment-o-meter,
I love this.
What is the exact same measure as going to Chili's and getting, I know what you get, the appetizer sampler at Chili's?
That's only if I'm going ham. Occasionally, I go ham.
I want the go ham sampler.
You want the go ham? What's the same as go ham?
What's the same as go ham at Chili's?
Yeah, no, this is great. I would say that like a single movie example would be like the newest Mission Impossible. The very newest Mission Impossible is like exactly Chili's.
To me.
Like it's like, oh, it's pretty good, but it's not, it's, you know, the middle of the pack as far as quality of the overall franchise goes.
There's moments that are great.
Extremely fine. Yeah.
I would say a trip to Chili's is just as good as Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
I love that. What about, does it feel kind of bullet train-y?
Bullet Train's better. No? I'd rather watch
Bullet Train. I think Bullet Train's better than Chili's.
Wow. This is fascinating. This is a fascinating hypothesis here that I think we can find ways to test in future episodes. And I really like what we've
saw. Basically, get rid of the scientific cinema scale and just be like, is it better than going to Chili's? Yes or no? Fully binary.
Literally, you don't even have to ask me twice. I am fine with that. And here's why it's so easy is because Chili's is exactly a 7 at all times. So it's very easy to just like above or below, you know? Well, Carter, you have Chili's beef?
No, I just want to make sure that the Chunkies can like hear how I feel about it. And it's like,
you don't think Chili's is a 7?
It's a 6.
Okay, I can
so
do that.
So this is a six. There you go.
I can
great,
do that.
So we're blind ranking.
Blind ranking chilies.
Dang, I want to chili so bad. Let's go to the ads.
Shout out.
I'm on Chili's website. I'm on Chili's website right now. Sorry, this is more important. I'm on their website right now. And these crispy chicken crispers that they've got a photo up at the top of the page with French fries with some black pepper on them, two dipping sauces, which look to be a honey chipotle and a honey mustard, and then a cup of macaroni and cheese. Quick update for me. It's 8:40 a.m. I would love to have this for breakfast.
I love that theme.
Chili's honey mustard? It's on a different level, bro. It's on a different level.
They do. They are consistent, especially with the appetizers. It's like it's going to have the same texture every time, and that's not hard.
Those egg roll thingies are extremely good. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
You're telling me Southwest egg rolls are a six? Honestly,
we said Chili's, Jordan.
Just Chili's as a whole.
Yes, I have to deal with the other people that are there.
Sure.
I have to deal with the cleanliness of the table.
There's gonna be somebody chewing with their mouth open at Chili's for sure, Carter.
Well, you know.
Yeah, dude. That's okay. That's fine.
I can wish them death and then feel bad about it later.
I just think they're big mouth bite sliders with the grilled onions. You dunk those in a little thing of ranch that they bring you, and it's a one-way ticket. Welcome to Shout Announcements. This is the part of the show where we go shout out to make announcements.
I'd like to make an announcement.
Please.
On November 11th, on Saturday, Doge won't be there. That's all I have to say.
Yep.
It's called the Lone Striker Showdown. Infinity FC Dallas, who we are in partnership with, is hosting, well, Crossbar Soccer and Beer is hosting a 1v1 tournament with Infinity FC. There's 32 spots. One grand prize. This town ain't big enough for the 32 of us.
That's so good.
Jordan and I are going to be doing color commentary on this entire tournament that is going to feature merch from Infinity FC. Crossbar is just an awesome venue. You should look it up. I'm excited to go there for the first time and report back. But it's going to be a lot of fun. There's some, you know, local soccer influencers that are going to be in this tournament. Regardless, I think any tournament style, festival style of any interest I'm even adjacent to is some of my favorite places to be. Because you can just bebop around, watch different things go down, talk to people. We'd love to have some of the chunkies out there because I know you guys, I think whether you're a sports fan or not, this is interesting enough to me. Being a sports fan, I've never seen a one-on-one soccer tournament. It sounds terrifying to me. I feel like I would be the worst. I think I would be really bad at this.
I don't have to feel. I'm confident that I would be the worst. I've never played
from what
a
I understand,
moment of competitive soccer in my entire life.
Oh, really?
You can score points from goals here. You can score points from goals from nutmegs.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with a nutmeg, that's like betwixt the legs. Like if they kick the ball between your legs. I play a lot of pickleball and you can nutmeg somebody in pickleball. So anytime it happens to me, I'll just throw out a Meg Ryan movie.
Yeah.
It's like, well, sleepless in Seattle. You know, that's kind of like my, you got me again. But yeah, come out to the showdown. You'll see Jordan and I. We hope to see you chunkies out there too. We can talk about Doge. I think maybe we can Zoom call Doge or something. Like you can come be there. We can spread. Do you have any ashes on you? I mean, I know that would be on you.
Yeah.
Maybe like cut a finger off.
Yeah.
Have you just forgotten to moisturize your elbows or knees or anything?
Yeah, you can have all my flakes.
Scrub that.
You're going to be there with Soccer Dave, right?
Yeah, Soccer Dave will be there. Big time, big time.
Will you promise me you won't like Soccer Dave more than me? Like it's so important that I'm still the third host on the podcast once I return from my absence.
In the interest of honesty, I don't know that I feel comfortable making that promise.
Give me...
Okay.
Give me until November 12th. Can you give me like...
Yeah.
Let me go before I decide.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
That I'd like to be there and experience it and feel it and feel how I feel before I promise anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good for me.
Great.
Look up in the sky. What do you see?
Ceiling.
An old chandelier looking thing.
Wrong. Castle. In the sky. That's next week's episode. we'll watch it and do an episode of it.
One of my, it's one of my favorite Jimi Hendrix songs.
Excuse me while I castle in the sky. Stop listening.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
And we're back to talk about Princess Mononoke. I need a synopsis so that we can get into it.
In my brain. Acting funny.
Doge.
I made Bob Dylan.
Yeah, you did kind of turn into Bob Dylan.
Jimi Hendrix.
Bobby Hendrix.
Am I happy? Am I in misery? Whatever it is, that girl put a spell on me.
I got to check something really quick. Hang on. This is important.
What happens in movie Princess Mononoke?
Is Bob Dylan dead?
Do I think Princess Mononoke is good? Please tell me.
Ask Jeeves.com.
Jeeves, please retrieve information for me.
What's the word, Jeeves?
This week's IMDb synopsis is written by Doug Short. And Doug has left their entire email address here on IMDb. And I will read it out loud because it's puzzling to me. It's written by Doug Short, whose email address is doug_short@studio.disney.com.
What?
Is this Doug Short's work email?
Did you just Google Doug Short at Disney? Is that what you were doing?
I'm trying to go to studio.disney.com and it's just timing out on me. I'm going to Google Doug Short Disney.
Producer and writer at Short Films Productions.
At disney.studios.com.
While at Disney. Hey, I'm on his LinkedIn. He's an entertainment professional.
He's a producer of Princess Diaries 1 and 2.
Sweet Home Babalama. 10 Things I Hate About You. He developed the screenplays. Doug. Thank you, Doug Short. Doug_short@studio.disney.com. I don't think he's at Disney anymore, so probably doesn't get anything on that email address.
Ever since Sweet Home Alabama, he's not at Disney anymore.
Yeah, I definitely found him on LinkedIn.
There you go.
Ashitaka is infected with an incurable disease by a possessed boar/god. He is to die unless he can find a cure to rid the curse from his body. It seems that his only hope is to travel to the Far East. When he arrives to get the help from the deer god, he finds himself in the middle of a battle between the animal inhabitants of the forest and an iron mining town that is exploiting and killing the forest. Leading the forest animals in the battle is a human raised by wolves, Princess Mononoke. Doug was busy, I think, with Princess Diaries 1 and 2 in Sweet Home Babalama, and so didn't get to like really write a long one, but we do appreciate.
No, that's fine. I kind of like when they're brief.
I think he just kept it pretty Doug Short, if I'm being honest with you.
Mm.
Wow.
He's not called Doug Long.
Sorry, man. I don't feel like he had to go there, Doug. That felt personal.
Doug. Hey, man.
Doug, we know you're listening. Thank you for writing this and also
appreciate you, Doug,
for your work with the princess that we ranked number three. She's a three to us, Doug.
Son.
No, Mia. What's Mia? What do we rank Mia?
Four. Oh, Mia, sorry.
She's a four to us, Doug.
No, yeah, four.
I thought you were referring to his work with Princess Mononoke writing.
No, I'm referring to his work with Princess Mia Thermopolis Rinaldi.
Yeah.
Thank you for your contributions, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
I'm going to super dump and get it out of the way.
Okay.
Whoa. Well, so here's the thing. I have seen, I think, two Miyazaki films. Neither of them are on this list. So these are all fresh, new eyes.
Which two have you seen?
As in like, yeah.
I've seen Kiki's Delivery Service and My Neighbor Totoro one time.
My Neighbor Totoro was so close, dude. That was a tie for what we would have watched this week in Discord.
I was crossing everything crossable on my body to make sure to hope that that was not the movie that was going to be in the series.
Really?
For two reasons. One, I've already seen it. I wanted to watch four new movies. And two,
yeah.
I had already made up my mind that I was watching Princess Mononoke either way because Princess Mononoke was an enormous, enormous, enormous inspiration for the Breath of the Wild era Zelda.
Got to be, dude.
It is. They have straight up said that they yoinked
that
so
much sense to me.
From
everything from Link's arm in Tears of the Kingdom to the
Koroks.
Koroks to the malice or gloom, whatever you want to call it, to Ganon taking the shape of a giant boar. Yeah.
I mean, even the deer god looks like a lot like the Lord of the Mountain. So there, I was already predisposed to like this because it inspired something I loved so much. I'll right out of the gate, here's what I'm going to say. I loved every frame, second,
gorgeous
moment of this film, except for my super dump, which is
okay.
Sling Blade.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, Billy.
Dude, he's flat. So
that's mine too.
Bad.
Hey, guess what? That's mine too.
He's so bad in this movie.
I welcome him.
Same.
I welcome him with open arms.
Yeah.
Because with movies that I enjoy, I never like the feeling of like trying to manufacture poo-poo.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I think I have a bowel movement. I'm just going to sit here for 30 minutes and see if anything comes. It's just like, he's a big old turd. Like, he was there. It was
yeah,
like, hey, man.
He's bad. Yeah. And I honestly think a lot of the... So we obviously watched the dub. I think a lot of the American cast, a lot of the English cast did like probably like a 7 out of 10 job. I think overall, I just wasn't impressed. I think Keith David showed up to work for this movie.
There were four Minnie
Driver
standouts.
Did
anything though.
There were four standouts.
Yeah,
to me.
Keith David can do anything.
Keith David was unreal.
Wait, can I get the standouts? Can I do it?
Yeah.
Can I try and guess your standouts?
Yeah.
Keith David, Billy Crudup.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Yeah, yeah.
Minnie Driver.
Yep. Big time.
Billy Bob.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes.
Amazing.
Good.
Yeah, Billy Bob was bad.
Billy Bob was extremely bad.
Yeah, he was terrible.
I felt like I heard chores he was doing in the background that got picked up.
Just like washing a mug in the sink.
I think what's so unfortunate too is that, is it Jigo?
The monk?
I can't remember the name of his character.
That's correct.
Yes. Has really poignant things to say.
Yeah, I like the character.
When they're in the cave, and he's talking about like, hey, everything's just evil. Mm-hmm. Like it's awful for everybody. Like the points that he was there to make
fell
so flat because he didn't care. He didn't care.
So it's to me like the voice acting equivalent of the solo in the Michael Jackson song Beat It, which was pretty famously just warming up and they recorded it and stuck it in the song.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to pay for extra studio time. It felt like they gave Billy Bob the script. I'm like, hey, just read through this real quick so you can see all the lines you're supposed to say and recorded him. And then he's like, all right, I'm ready to start. And they're like, nope, you're actually done.
But Keith David was the guitar solo from Smooth by Rob Thomas with Santana.
Yes.
It was perfect and beautiful.
Keith David is unreal good in this movie.
There's no bad voice he's ever done in his entire life. He's so good.
Yeah, he's amazing. I just kept thinking of like, Facilier and
the poignant lines in this. You bring up the script. The English script was by Neil Gaiman.
Did you guys see that?
That's wild.
That's awesome. I did not see that.
Isn't that great?
Here's the thing too. And it feels like such a standout. And again, I think it's good for me to preface to say I'm kind of navigating Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli right now with what culture and friends have given me,
sure.
Right? I don't see the full... This was my first actual experience
Mine
with
too.
One of the movies. And so I'm like, hey, you're going to hear a lot of like, based on what I've heard, you know, like the, and with the voice acting to be so good from what I've heard, Billy Bob stood out so much. And I think, because it does feel like Miyazaki is on top of it. It almost feels like there's a simultaneous, let's make sure that this can be not necessarily appealing. We can talk about that in a little bit to American audiences, because I think he knew what he made was going to translate well anyways, in terms of artistically. But in terms of like familiar voices or familiar names. 1997 was Sling Blade. So the 1997 Oscars was Sling Blade. Billy Bob Thornton was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He would win for this movie. The movie would win like screenplay and things like that. So like Billy Bob Thornton in the late 90s, it's not the kind of name that we would bring up on this podcast with like Robin Williams or other late 90s like powerhouses. But yeah, I think that's what happened. And that's me like excusing Miyazaki for making what feels like a really bad decision.
I feel like it's a similar like clout powerhouse actor move as casting Robert Pattinson in the new one, where it's like that that level of like respect, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. It just was, we just didn't. And it makes sense a little bit because, you know, Billy Bob has some of that twang. And so it would, the character that he played, it made sense for like the tone of Billy Bob's voice and the way that he talked.
If he had just tried.
It was just so flat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so flat. I'll tell you what though, he's a limber dude. His character. He's just a bouncing around.
I really liked the character despite Billy Bob phoning it in. I really enjoyed the character. So it even still kind of worked for me. And I'm having a hard time imagining the voice being good because the character's so weird. But yeah, Billy Bob was terrible. I've never disliked Billy Crudup ever, but I've never liked him as much as I liked him as the voice of Ashitaka. I thought that he was...
Yeah. Have you seen The Morning Show?
I watched a little bit of it.
Oh, he's amazing in that.
I thought that he was so excellent as Ashitaka.
He was great.
Did you say thoughtful?
I just was thinking.
That's a great word for it.
It just felt like it. He was just so kind. And it wasn't your... Because sometimes when we get pretty white boy to voice anything,
sure,
they're just there to be a canvas.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially even like in in an Americanized princess movie.
Right.
Right? Couldn't even name all of the princes because they're just kind of there to hang out a little bit.
Yeah.
But what he was
able to
do.
When are the guys going to get to do something?
When are the guys going to get to do something? Speaking of Harvey Weinstein.
Nah.
Wanted this movie to be cut shorter. Did you see that?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yes. What Miyazaki did, because he was pretty pissed on what some of the studios have done or English American iterations of these movies had done in terms of cutting things short and how much it took from the story. That he's like, we're not doing this again. So what he did is he sent Harvey a katana that was engraved on it, no cuts. And so there's like, okay, cool. We won't be cutting from this one.
Good. Good.
But yeah, Billy Crudup was great.
I thought he was awesome. Ashitaka is my favorite character in the movie. I love like a badass who's genuinely like, I do not want to do this. Please do not make me do this. I really love that sort of like archetype. And I think that he's like such a compelling version of that because his motivation to not do this isn't like, I will reap destruction if unleashed. But it's like, I don't want to, I want everybody to just be kind and exist. I don't want to fight, but I will ruin you if we do fight. And I just think that he is so cool. His motivations are so great. I really enjoyed his character a lot. He was my favorite character.
Yeah, we immediately see him like just taking care of people he cares about. Like from the jump and doing impressive things. The this feels like the most basic super pump for a Studio Ghibli movie. The animation
That's my
style,
super pump
it's
as
just
well.
It's unbelievable. I there were moments where like the way arrows would fly like through the sky and just our massive landscapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creativity of our creature creation, our costuming. It's like, man, if we just put animation and it got to go to these movie award shows and we go ahead and say like, hey, animation can also be in editing, can also be in like film editing, sound editing, costume, set. It feels like Miyazaki would have been crushing it in 1997. Mm-hmm. Like unbelievable animation style. Because what was so tough too, and what's such a big part of this entire story, obviously, is the spirits and the manifestation of those spirits. But the way that we would just kind of like how malleable certain curses were and like how they would just transform and move was just beautiful. And it didn't feel like normal late 90s 2D animation.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
I saw things animated in this movie that I've never seen animated before in my whole life. And the moment that I was like, this is one of the most impressive animation movies I've ever seen is just when the rain started on the trees and like watching the mm-hmm. drops fall and then slowly saturate the tree trunk. I've just never seen that. I've never seen anybody animate that. Or it was rocks maybe. I think it was stones.
Yeah,
that it
rocks,
fell on. I've never seen that in my entire life. I've never seen the waterfall and turn it dark gray and then all the other droplets fall and then they slowly just turn the whole thing gray and slick. And when that happened, I was like, this is my super pump. Is the animation
the shallow pool that we see them above and below the water. Mm-hmm. There was a couple times where I'd have to like get up and get a drink or go to the bathroom and I would pause and I was like, can I just want to make this like my background on my television? Can I frame this? Like it felt like you could pause at any moment, maybe without, you know, two severed arms. You probably don't want to have that up in your house somewhere. But yeah, it was great. It was really pretty. It was really enjoyable. I had a hard time watching it because it had to be late last night. Mm-hmm. I had to do things to move my body because it was, in the best way, making me sleepy. It was just in the moments that weren't action.
Yeah, it's slow.
With the music and the sound. Yeah, all of that stuff mixed. I was just lulled.
As well.
I was just like, well,
Yeah. I just think it's hard to isolate a super pump. It's even like, we've watched a few movies for the show that are so bad that it's like, where do I even begin?
Sure.
I really genuinely feel like this one is so good that I have a hard time. Like Billy Bob is obviously the part that sucks. And then it's like everything else is equally firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
My super pump is the most like contrived thing. My super pump is the thoughtfulness of the production. Every single thing feels 100% intentional. And that goes to what you guys are talking about, the animation style, the music choices, like the I guess if you can call it, cinematography, right?
Yeah.
Just the choices of the shots, specifically the wide vistas of the forest that we get are unbelievable. The care and thoughtfulness taken into the script, which I'm sure like was equally present in the original version and just a holdover in the translation. Like it's way more complex than it needs to be. It's like fully, there's not a character who feels flat or one note. Like
there's not a solely evil person.
Yeah. Not a villain basically. Yeah. Everybody just has conflicting desires, which is a really, I mean, it was rated PG-13.
Realistic.
The first movie from the studio to be rated PG-13 in the States. But it really does feel like that elevated, like sweeping epic that like, I can't think of another animated movie I've seen that feels this like
grand,
mature is a bad word for it, but this
it is pretty mature.
Complex and complicated, I think.
Yeah.
In a good way.
No, I agree. I think that, it was so, a lot of times these like nature versus progress metaphors can be pretty ham-fisted or can be really like one note.
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciated like in a world where San represents kind of the nature side of the struggle and Eboshi represents progress, but progress aiming to improve life, not to tear down nature. And then we have sort of Jigo as like an opportunist willing to harm nature just for his own gain. And then I don't know. I just thought that everybody had clear motivations. Like after you spent about 5 minutes with each character, it was clear that it was like, oh, okay, Eboshi's not a bad person. She's just willing to do bad things to get to what But like, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was very unique. I don't think I've ever seen a movie characterize its villain, quote unquote, by taking care of a leper colony, like taking care of, yeah. like giving people a new lease on life. I was really blown away with the complexity of the yeah, characters and the motivations. And
would you say you were spirited away or just blown away?
Away by the, okay. by the complexity Goodness. Of the characters. And then even Ashitaka, who is sort of like the golden boy, good boy, he's not here to take sides. Even in the final conflict, yeah. he's helping everyone. And he's trying to bring them all towards a point of like, our only goal needs to be stop this destruction. And while I'm at it, I'm sorry. I feel like I could talk for a long time about this movie, but I loved that the reversal of the like nature gods destruction was not reversing time and putting the forest back together, but that instead it was just letting things be overgrown and it's a fresh start. That forest is not coming back as it yeah. was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I chewed on this movie for a long time last night and I,
yeah,
I still am thinking a lot about it. I really was kind of blown away here and I was expecting to be blown away. So it's not even like I went in with low expectations and was like, wow, this was good. I was expecting this and got more, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like everybody who throughout the history of our show has been like, you gotta do Studio Ghibli is like, yeah. Like, I don't know. I just feel like,
no, they're excited. There's
choir
no
of people being like, obviously, dude, this is what I've been trying to tell you. They're so good. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing a little bit of research here. Cause we were talking about how thoughtful Doge, that was your super pump, right? It's just kind of like how thoughtful the making of this movie is. And that's something that you hear a lot with just Miyazaki in yeah. general. It's like taking yeah. something seriously. And I just thought it was so interesting that we talk about Studio Ghibli when we started the episode talking about Marvel Studios. And so I wanted to do some research. And Studio Ghibli has been around for 38 years. Mm. They technically say that Marvel Studios was founded in 1993, but that doesn't make any sense to me. 1993
was when Marvel sold off all of their properties to like Sony and Fox and stuff like that. Yeah. So the studio itself, the studio division might have been established in that time, but their first independently funded film as Marvel Studios was 2008's Iron Man. But they probably
2008.
Like, partially funded like X-Men, Fantastic Four, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man and stuff. They probably had to have a studio division for tax purposes. Yeah.
So here's what we'll do then. So we'll say Studio Ghibli has been around for 38 years, whereas our modern Marvel has been 15 years. So in that time, Studio Ghibli has made or announced 24 movies, right? So we've got a new one coming out and be on the lookout because I think we might want to join some of our Discord friends
yeah,
to see that.
That'd be awesome. Super fun.
That'd be a lot of fun. Since 2008, so in 15 years, so that's less than half the time, Marvel has made or announced 44 films. Saying like, hey, this is out there. You can go watch it. Or here's what we're working on. 44 in 15
That's
over 24
crazy.
In 38, almost four decades. So yes, very different success measurements here, right? Marvel has made so much more money. Billions upon billions, gazillions more than Studio Ghibli has. But like, what do you, I don't know. I don't know why. I guess I'm talking to a wall in terms of it's like business, so they don't really care. But like, what do you want to be remembered for? Like, if you're going to build parks around this, like, why are you killing it? It's just so bad. But I don't want to make this a second half about Marvel and not Studio Ghibli. But that's something too that like I'm so excited for Thanksgiving, thankful for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
to just have this fresh reset of like, oh, dude, yes, like it's not all. It's not all just overdone.
Yeah.
You know, like there's still some thoughtfulness around. And it's so fun to compare that to, you know, what some of the best video games ever, which came out recently in terms of like these Zelda games that were inspired by something so thoughtful. And you get to share that too. It's like, hey, there's creators in the mainstream media that are doing really good things and they care about what they're doing.
I guess we're ready to rate this, but I could just talk about it for another 35 minutes.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, it really is one of those where it's like, where do you even, like, how do you begin to talk about?
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, there's nothing interesting to say because we would just Chris Farley it. We'd be like, remember that part? Remember when Ashitaka did this? And it's like, yeah, that was really cool. Remember when he did this? And like, yeah, that
let's
was
give
really
ourselves,
good.
Or really let's thoughtful. Give ourselves I think a minute. Something- let's give ourselves 1 minute to Chris Farley about it.
Give me 60 seconds on the clock.
Before we started it, Callie was like, so this is like an animation for adults. And I was like, no, it's kind of just like, you know, it's Disney-ish, but it's got its own like flavor. It's more mature than that. And I was like, but it's not like it's going to be like Invincible level violent. And then like 10 minutes into the movie, he like shoots a bunch of people's heads and arms off.
One shot kills, dude. Just comply. They're like, that's not normal. He's a demon.
Yeah, right. It's so cool. I mean, I've never, that's, chalk it up to another thing I've never seen animated is hands removed by arrows or boars embedded in walls.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, it was, there's a moment where Ashitaka is leaving, like he's been banished, you know, from another place near the end of the movie, but then he hears like the gunfire and turns back around. But how quickly the weather was changing, as he's walking, definitely made me think of the Stormlight series.
Cool.
Stormlight Archives. And I thought that was really neat. And that made me want that series. I'm more on the train of it being animated now than...
Yeah.
Imagine what if Studio Ghibli picked that up. That'd be fun.
Can I give a shout out to Yakuul, my beautiful red elk?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So sick.
Swimming.
They don't call him... They don't call him
jumping in the water.
They don't call him Yalame.
That's true. They don't. That's true.
They don't.
You cool though.
Factually, they do not.
They do not call him that.
I love the timing of watching Ghibli for the first time at 35, and my first one being Princess Mononoke, which is one of the ones that has more mature themes, but it's still from 1997. So all this to say, like, it feels like sometimes we'll have nostalgic based series.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of nostalgia for people with Studio Ghibli. So we've done like, you know, the Disney Channel original movie series. That meant a lot more to y'all than it did to me because I didn't experience that as a kid. And so I get to watch that for the first time at, you know, in my 30s. And I'm like, cool, I get it, but I don't. But there's something about how much the themes of this movie resonated for me right now at this age that really told a lot about the storytelling. I think it was just done so well, and it was appropriately sad. Like, it was a sad movie to me. It was just like, you know what? You're right. Like, everything is going to take work, and it doesn't just get, you don't just blink and then, like Jordan was saying, and then the forest is right back to where it used to be. It's like, no, you start over.
Yeah.
Which just is, you know, that feels like therapy. It's like, there's never been a point where I was like, well, when I turn 40, I won't go to counseling anymore. It's like, nah, dude, it kind of feels perpetual.
Yeah.
I think I need this for the rest of my life. And so, and it's because there's just a lot of people hurting and there's a lot of bad stuff going on. I loved it, man. The way that his arm would form and he'd fight against it was just so cool. Mm-hmm. The curse looked so cool on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As it was just starting to wrap around his entire body. San was... She looked, she was so metal the first time to see her, and she's got blood on her face. In 1997, we were in the middle of, you know, like Disney princesses are a big deal.
Yeah.
And so, like, American audiences see the first scene they see of this princess is she's fighting. And again, we had Mulan by this time, but she's fighting, and then there's just blood on her face. I was like, that's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Like, from the jump, like, what we're doing with, gender norms in this movie in 1997 is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Our big, you know, like wanting things to be more modern and have guns. That I don't remember that the head of that usually being this lady.
Right. Yeah.
Who's just trying to take everything over. I loved everything about that.
We should rate it, I guess.
Yeah, I have nothing else to say, but also so much else I could say.
Well, let's rate it using the scientific cinema scale, which is perfect and as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'm going to buy it.
And another fun thing that I want to mention is at the end of this movie, I started thinking about Moon Knight because you've got our main character who is just kind of fighting against something that is making them kind of capable of destroying people. Right. And then some of the very last scenes are just giant gods destroying the world. So I was like, oh, this reminds me of the finale of Moon Knight. I buy this movie. I think it's interesting too. And I'm so excited to continue through the series because a lot of what I would read about Princess Mononoke is it's not following usually the normal rules of Studio Ghibli. And I'm looking forward to seeing what those are. And I think essentially it would be like if Pixar came out with a PG-13 movie, maybe.
Right.
Is what they mean by it's not the normal rules. But it still gave me one of the things I love the most about Pixar, which is just phenomenal storytelling no matter how old you are when you see it.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know that I would recommend Princess Mononoke for a 7-year-old. Right. But maybe it is one of those things to where it's like, hey, we're not going to watch the second half of Sound of Music. That's when the Nazis come. You know, it's like, let's just not, we won't watch the rotting flesh and the worm monster or things like that. But
yeah,
I also felt sorry for people that, is it tropophobia?
What's the phobia? Trypophobia, something like that.
Of holes? Of like multiple holes, like clustered holes together?
Tough.
Sorry, guys. Big warning for this one. I wouldn't watch it.
I also think that the two other Miyazaki films I have seen were definitely not this serious, but they were maybe not as mature, but like I think we've got a lot of fun ahead of us, even in the ones that dip into more like not juvenile, but like more kid friendly fare. I think they
from what I've heard, Totoro and Kiki's are like the youngest.
I think so.
Audiences,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that and maybe Ponyo.
Yeah.
Probably, which I've never seen, but I've heard good things. I think I'm buying the poster for Princess Mononoke. I really loved it. I've been thinking about it since I turned it off. And it helps that the poster's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's the perfect bullseye of like, really cool, really well-made movie that inspired one of my favorite things ever.
You see that arrow?
It's just, I think this is a poster for me.
I'm going to buy it. And the interesting thing about that is that I'm also going to buy the poster at the same time as I buy the movie. So I'm buying the Blu-ray and the poster of this. It's a poster for me. This is...
I'm glad you went with the simple way of saying that, the way that makes the most sense. Well, I'm glad you...
So it's an actual poster.
You already said the way I was going to say it, so I can't... That's spent. I got to come up with a new way. Yeah, I got to do something new.
That makes sense.
This movie's so good that it's hard for me to explain how good it is, and I don't feel like I should have to justify buying the poster. If I'm buying the poster, and if you're like, why is he doing that? Watch the movie.
Watch it.
And you'll know.
Just watch the movie.
Yeah, it's really excellent. I'm so glad that we watched it.
Next week is Castle in the Sky. You want to go ahead and announce the rest of the series too?
Sure.
Castle in the Sky next week, and then Howl's Moving Castle, and then we are closing out Thanks Ghibling with Spirited Away. I am incredibly excited for the rest of this series.
I am too.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun.
What a wonderful
feeling. If this was fourth place.
Yeah, right?
Like, we're going to have to come up with a new scale.
I'm going to need a bigger wall because I'm just going to have all posters.
It's going to be crazy.
But it's
yeah, so tune in next week as we discuss Castle in the Sky. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and give me your Chili's order, appetizers included. For Two Junks and a Hunk, my name is Jordan Wonders, that is. And I'm going with chips and salsa and newly added to my order, ranch. I like Chili's ranch. It tastes good. It's good on chips. So I get some ranch with those chips.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going nuts, which is the fun way to do it, I am going to get a triple dipper with the Honey Chipotle Chicken Crispers, the Big Mouth Bites, and the Southwestern Egg Rolls. And then I will die happy. Thank you.
Mm. I'm Doge, and I regret to inform you that it will not be interesting because my Chili's order is the exact same. It's that triple dipper with the egg rolls, specifically the Honey Chipotle Chicken Crispers, that's like the best. I don't, it's all good is the problem in the appetizer sampler. Is they're good and I can't pick which one of them is the best. So I'm going to get all of them every time and I have to have the chips and salsa.
The best one is the last one I put in my mouth. Whichever the last one I just put in my mouth is.
What I've eaten most recently is my favorite.
And I'll tell you, if they're fresh, now they can be bad. The gulf is wide, but if they're fresh and they did them right, Chili's got good fries. I wouldn't be sad about fries somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably no.
That's the biggest miss.
Probably no liquor with mine at Chili's. I think I probably won't do that.
I enjoy
probably a beer.
I enjoy a an El Presidente. I enjoy an El Presidente margarita. Oh, every once
I forgot
in a while.
About their margaritas.
Get the refill coming in there with you.
Bring me the extra.
I'm Carter. Just so I can join the conversation and not feel like I'm breaking rules. I'm Carter.
Yeah.
And I will start with some skillet queso.
Oh, that is a good time.
Oh, it's good though. It's really good.
Definitely
though.
Do that with the chips. And Jordan, I'll have some ranch.
It's a good time.
Well, over there on the
over
side.
Here.
Nice to go between. What I'll be drinking though is Chili's has good Dr. Pepper. Am I crazy?
I don't like Dr. Pepper.
I don't really like Dr. Pepper, so.
and I'm also gonna have some crispy chicken crispers. Mm-hmm. Ranch mainly. I don't really like honey That's mustard. Fair. I know y'all love their
I
honey
do love
mustard.
Their honey mustard.
Are you in, are you into the honey chipotle at all?
Not really.
Mm.
I will sometimes get honey mustard boy. For the honey chipotle crispers. The sweet, tangy.
Just the wettest chicken strip of all time.
I'm trying to make sure that I don't just absolutely go through the skillet queso because that's also a dip for me.
Oh,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Get that in
I
the
respect
skillet
that.
Queso.
You know, very Chili's good. Biggest swing and a miss in the last few
very
years was getting rid of
poops.
The original chicken crispers, the like tempura battered style chicken crispers. Those were so good. They were so like fluffy and crispy.
I always am fascinated with the like back for a limited time with like chain restaurants like that. It's like, what does bringing it back mean for you?
Why are you
like,
doing
is
that?
Is it hard?
Yeah. Did you forget
like
the recipe?
Easy. Why is it not just here?
Is there one guy who makes it and you're like, come out of retirement, one last job. We need you to make 3,000 chicken crispers the old way.
The old way.
Using the old traditions.
I'm going to reach out. I want to start a petition to bring back the original chicken crispers because they were one of the things that made Chili's weird. And Chili's is at its best when it's like super weird.
Yeah.
Like the Southwestern egg rolls or like they were the first place I had ever had a lava cake ever was at Chili's as a child.
You know, they started the fajita sizzle thing.
Did they really?
Did you know that? That's them
Did they
first.
Really?
When it would come out and make noise.
Yeah.
Because it's just so hot. It's that just, was Chili's
and you know
originated that.
You know it's not cooking on there. That's just water. They just do like.
Well, they have some. I think it's a type of butter because I think they call it like sizzle juice and it's supposed to like sizzle for a while.
Sizzle juice.
I don't think I'm lying.
That's the new birds and the bees convo. Well, son.
Sizzle sauce, maybe?
Sizzle juice?
Sizzle sauce?
Sizzle sauce? Whatever it is. Sizzle juice or
sizzle sauce.
Sizzle
sauce fajitas.
What's up? On the ones and twos, it's your boy. Sizzle juice.
Yeah, sizzle sauce is what it's called.
What is sizzle it? What's the ingredients sauce. Of sizzle sauce?
Let's find out.
Butter and water, probably.
I'm gonna look up make sizzle sauce at home.
Some butter water.
Oh god, this website is just pop-ups to the maximum.
Do you think Doug knows? You just want to email Doug?
Bottle of liquid Doug Short might know. Causing a reaction that generates really no smoky sauce, not the cooking process. So I'm not seeing what the sizzle sauce actually
takes,
is.
A cook takes a bottle of liquid and squirts a generous amount of the food.
Soy sauce base with elements like lime juice and fat.
Ah.
Oh, that's nice.
So am I.
I'd get after some sizzle sauce.
Other users
the
claim
same makeup as a Dozier.
That other restaurants frequently use orange juice on a bed of onions.
Yeah.
It all works for me. I don't care if it's psychological. It all works for
great.
Me. And I'm not even, I like fajitas, but I'm inclined to go other directions. But when they walk by with the sizzling plate, I fall for it every time.
Quick shout out, best fajitas in Dallas, Las Palmas.
It's in Uptown in Dallas. It's worth a go. It's a good little date spot. Mm. It's a little bit more spency, but they're good.
I have
If you like going the beef route, they use Wagyu. So that can tell you kind of like the level that they are. But it's, phenomenal. You can do shrimp. You can get some chicken, obviously. You can go some chorizo. It's great.
All right, boys.
Very, very good.
I guess that's how you get clicks.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.